3rd. We have only one issue, or one issue on the agenda today, but it's a very important one, and that's the confirmation of Commissioner Rothman as a Commissioner of Commerce. So I know the Commissioner has another meeting a little bit later, and I don't think this will take forever, but anyway, Commissioner, welcome, and you've been the Commissioner now for, what, January, for 2 years, I believe, and you show up for work every day, is that correct?
2 years and 12 days.
You know, even another observation, Senator Latz was here for a while, too, or, you know. We can talk about that later, about your relationship with that and whether that'll hinder your confirmation or not, but I don't. All right, well, welcome, and you may proceed. Just identify yourself and then kind of talk a little bit about, I suppose, some of your accomplishments and some of the things you see in the future, and so I'll just let you go.
Great.
Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you, Senator Metzen, especially for our relationship and the support you've had for me over the years. My name is Mike Rothman, Commerce Commissioner of the State of Minnesota. Mr. Chairman, I've known you for many years, and you're a tribute to the people of Minnesota for all the work that you've done. I remember back in 1988 when I joined as staff of the Senate. I'll talk a little bit about that later, but I always looked up to you and all the work that we did together.
Thank you.
Senator Gazelka, I look forward to continuing our work as we did in the last couple of years. I know that there are a lot of issues of great interest to you, and in particular some of the insurance ones, and maybe later if you have questions, we can talk about some of those. And I know I've worked with many of the committee members here, and I enjoy the opportunity to work on public policy. It is truly an honor and a privilege to be here this noon hour, in particular as Governor Dayton's Commissioner of Commerce. I am deeply grateful for the trust and keenly aware of the responsibility that the governor has placed in me as Commissioner of Commerce in the state of Minnesota. I accepted the duties then and continue every day in humility and gratitude and a firm determination to work on behalf of Minnesotans energetically and with a touch of fun with all my staff and everything that we do. On a personal note, some of you here today know that after graduating from law school at the University of Minnesota, I worked for the Minnesota Court of Appeals for a year and then came here to the Minnesota Senate as staff, working from about 1988 to 1992. So I actually feel that I've come full circle in a way. I remember this room very well. In fact, if memory serves me right, I believe this was the very room where the Senate and House Commerce Committees met and conferred over a 1991 major insurance solvency overhaul law that currently governs the safety and soundness of our insurance companies. At that time, turning back those chapters, the largest insurance company failure had occurred in the early 1980s, and one, the second, was on the brink of failure. These were Mission Insurance Company and Executive Life in California. In 1992, as I mentioned, I left the Senate and I moved to Los Angeles. It was mainly to follow my girlfriend at the time, who is now my wife, and she is here today, Sherry. Sherry earned her master's in music for harp performance at USC, and I joined a law firm in Los Angeles as a young attorney. The firm was Rubenstein and Perry. I remember throwing 300 or so resumes all over Los Angeles. It was a bad market to try and get a job, obviously not as bad as it was or has been in the last few years. But it was tough. The firm that picked me up turned out to be, and I was fortunate to be hired by the very firm that represented the California Insurance Commissioner in Mission Insurance Company and Executive Life. So I cut my teeth as a litigator and worked on those, the two largest insurance insolvency in United States history, and then moved on to one of the largest law firms in Los Angeles, and then recruited to Barger and Wolin, where two partners were former California insurance commissioners, Mr. Barger and Roxanne Gillespie. But as many of you know, and as natives often do from Minnesota, my wife and I decided that we wanted to return, raise our children in Minnesota so that they could be with their families, their grandparents, and to live and grow up in a state that we care deeply about. Now, I joke, it's freezing as hell outside today. And some people always ask me, well, why would I ever leave the sunshine and the cold and the Pacific Ocean to come to Minnesota? But the family is here. It's a wonderful life, and we enjoy every minute of it. When I came back in 2002, Winthrop and Weinstein, particularly the gentleman there, had always asked me if I was coming back to give him an opportunity for me to work there. I was hired in 2002 as co-chair of the Insurance and Financial Services Practice Group and worked there for almost or probably right about 10 years. Then in January of 2011, on the 11th of that month, I left Winthrop and Weinstein when I was chosen by Governor Dayton to serve as the state's Commerce Commissioner. I was truly excited then, and as I am today, every day I go to work, to have the opportunity to serve Minnesota as the Commerce Commissioner. I view the chance to be Commerce Commissioner as a really unique opportunity to help improve Minnesota's economy and to make a difference in people's lives. The importance of public service has been instilled in me by my family, some of whom are here with us today, my mom, my dad, I think Senator Latz left, who's one of my in-laws, my brother-in-law.
Why don't we point out your wife and your mother? Yeah. And
my dad, Harv, is here.
Yeah. Sherry. Why don't you stand up and say hello to Harv?
And my mom, Elaine.
Yeah. Thanks for coming. Okay, Commissioner.
It's great to have them here, and obviously an honor to be sitting here in front of you today with them here. From my mom, who dedicated her life to public education, to all of my family members, I have learned the importance of giving back, of taking care, and public service. And I'll tell you, the excitement for my job and the commitment to public service has not wavered in the past 2 years. If anything, it has been reinforced by the incredibly talented and dedicated staff at the Department of Commerce. Some of those folks, including my assistant, our government relations staff, my deputy, are here with me today. Without them, the state of Minnesota, from the Commerce Department's perspective, would not function very well. In fact, achieving the excellence every day is something they strive to do, and it's one of the things that keeps me going every day. So as you know, the Commerce Department regulates more than 20-plus industries. I have some handouts, I think, they're around or from the last committee hearing. You saw all of the stuff that we do, including the accomplishments from 2012, on top of those we did in 2011. But we regulate, as you know, insurance, banking, securities, the energy sector, and telecommunications. It includes real estate, and the list goes on. In 2011, when I started as commissioner, you'll recall, and you know, the national and state economies were just beginning to climb out of the depths of the Great Recession. I viewed my responsibilities entrusted to me as important, and here are some of the key ones. To maintain the trust in the safety and soundness of our state banks. To revitalize the leadership and oversight of the insurance sector. To rebuild securities oversight as required by the Dodd-Frank Act, to strengthen our energy division's focus on energy resources in a changing energy economy, and reinforcing our overriding responsibility to protect Minnesota consumers. I hit the ground running fast, and I continue to do so every day. What I've learned most in the past 2 years is the breadth and comprehensive scope of our department's responsibility, and like you, the complex issues and the varied issues that need to be resolved before us every day. So from state bank supervision to the flooding of riverbanks in Minnesota, the Department of Commerce covers a wide gamut. The array of issues the department is involved in has certainly kept my job very interesting. It all boils down to some simple philosophical regulatory principles that I have. And I think these speak to the department as well. Protecting the public interest, which means taking care of Minnesota consumers and businesses and fairly enforcing the laws. Supporting fair, competitive, and a strong economy so that Minnesota businesses have an opportunity to grow and succeed. All of this takes a balance. And I think in everything that we do, we approach it in a wise fashion to make the best decisions we can and to help Minnesotans. So let me turn to some of the experiences that we've had over the last couple of years, and then some of the focus of priorities that we've taken on. In early 2011, just 1 month into the job, I heeded the warnings of weather forecasters that the state was mounting one of the worst flooding disasters in Minnesota history. Fortunately, it didn't happen. But we were about to experience one of the events that was nearly a 300 or 500-year event. And actually, as a side note, it's astonishing how often these are happening. That flooding didn't occur, but we still toured and we went out and talked to folks in Crookston, Moorhead, Shakopee, and St. Peter. And we went all over the state. We also went to Minneapolis, and we took on the responsibilities to help those that were hit by the tornado. And we immediately responded to the Duluth flooding by deploying our disaster response team so that constituents throughout Minnesota, your constituents, and you had the information you needed in case there were a need for insurance claims and our assistance in getting those dollars to Minnesota constituents. I believe that education and outreach are an important part of the department's responsibility. It's to get the information to consumers, but it also helps us let people know that the Department of Commerce is on the job, that when consumers get alerted to things that are happening out there, they are knowledgeable and they will work with us to prevent fraud and abuse. Unfortunately, there are a few bad actors out there. I tell people and I tell industries when I talk to them that 99.9% of our businesses in Minnesota are Minnesota nice. They're good companies. They do things well. Oftentimes, some of the bad actors come from other states and sometimes a few in our own. And I've been surprised that oftentimes the tips that we received come from those in the industries that we regulate to let us know that things are not going well. But as the regulatory arm of state government, the department is charged with enforcing the laws affecting insurance, consumers, producers, stock and investment brokers, real estate agents, and many of the other industries under our purview. The department takes calls from the public, investigates complaints, and enforces state laws pertaining to the products and services that we license. You know, additionally, we monitor the marketplace proactively, and that's everything from insurance and real estate to even in the energy sector, as I'd mentioned before, to maintain and make sure that our diesel supply, our ethanol supply, and gasoline is getting to the places it need to, particularly in the spring and the fall months when crops are being taken out of the ground. Just a few minutes on what we've done internally. Since I started, we made strategic investments. The Office of Legislative Auditor had some criticisms of the department before I started. We tackled those immediately, when within the first 9 months, all of those were taken care of and put to rest. We also, with the help of the legislature, actually, and you'll recall, received some additional funding for unclaimed property staffing, so we beefed that up. The amount of money we receive in unclaimed property and the amount we return to individuals is the highest and the best return rate that unit has seen, if ever, or in a long time. We've also focused resources on our consumer response team, and as I mentioned, our securities unit, and prioritized the reorganization of our insurance division. Yet the primary focus, as I mentioned, as we climbed out of the Great Recession, was clearly how important the department was to maintain the strengths of the industries and the economy. It's important for us to have been proactive and results-oriented so that the department could fulfill its mission across the board. Let me finally spend a few moments on some of the highlights, the touching moments over the last 2 years. As many of you know, financial literacy has been a very important priority for me at the department. The strength of our future economy relies on all of our participation. It really isn't time to shy away from those historically left out of the discussion. Provide resources and education to give people from kindergarten to retirement the tools they need to make informed decisions about their financial future. Financial literacy is an important rung to help people on the ladder of economic opportunity, but it is also an important part of consumer education and to prevent fraud. As we know and we've seen in the last few years, knowledge about the financial and complexity of financial products is important, especially after getting hammered in the economic downturn. In one of my speaking engagements, I do recall being in Minneapolis in the summer of 2011, speaking as commissioner. This was a group of inner-city school kids. There must have been at least 250, 300 kids in this huge room at the Minneapolis Target Center. Young kids were in the front, and the big kids and seniors were in the back, those making the noise and distractions, but the attention was in the front with the younger ones. I was there with some legislators, and we were talking about the importance of financial literacy. And when it came to the end of our talk, a little young kid in the front row, kindergarten, maybe even first grade, he asked me, "How do you open a bank account?" And I remember thinking to myself, our kids have their bank accounts, and they know how to save. And I remember when I was a kid growing up at Pratt Elementary School in the Prospect Park area, the projects area where I grew up by the University of Minnesota, that they used to collect, I think it was TCF Bank, if I don't recall, dimes and nickels, and we saved, and then by the end of the year, they would show you how much interest you earned. But those little lessons are important, and it's important for seniors, and it's important for all of us to know those things. I have gone around the state, and I've spoken to seniors, and I've talked about the diminished capacity of seniors, especially being preyed on by those folks who will take advantage of them. And the importance of knowing that, as I tell people, my grandmother, who's 91 years old, often says to people, you know, she gets a phone call. It's from somebody, and they want to sell her something. And she says, you know what, I'll get back to you. And she knows when she's done, she does one thing. And she picks up the phone, and she calls me, and she says, does this make sense? And what I want most of all is for people to understand that they can call the Department of Commerce, you can call me, and I will work on the matters, and I will make sure that we resolve them and get to the bottom of them. I often say it's important for us to work for the people and to work and take care of those that we're entrusted the responsibility to help. You know, I consider my role as commissioner an opportunity, again, to make a difference in people's lives, to make a lasting contribution to our state, so that kids like me growing up in Minneapolis or Chaska, where we moved out to, or even Moorhead, southern Minnesota, all the cities are able to inherit a better Minnesota. Mr. Chairman and committee members, I am humbled and honored to have the confidence of the governor and to have your consideration of me as serving as Commerce Commissioner. Thank you for granting me the time today, and I know that there may be further ground to cover. Other questions that I'd be happy to answer. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you very much, Commissioner, and we'll entertain if committee members have any thoughts or Senator Reinhart.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Mr. Commissioner, I just want to thank you for your visits north. I appreciate that. There's a couple of the commissioners who seem to make a regular habit of getting around the state. And for those of us that don't live in the cities, that's much appreciated. And you touched on something that I did want to highlight this morning, and that was your department's very quick response in flood recovery in northeastern Minnesota. I mean, I'll be honest, Insurance was not the first and foremost thing I was thinking of as we were pulling cars out of streets that were now rivers and things like that. But 2 days later, that's what was on everybody's mind, and your department was already ready to help people, and it just made moving forward immensely easier for a lot of families. So my appreciation.
Yeah, I might add that's very good. I know we were deeply concerned down where I live in South St. Paul on the river, and you were quick to respond and come down to our city and talk to my constituents, and particularly the people that had the businesses that we thought were going to get flooded out. And thank God the pumps kept going, and we didn't get it in South St. Paul, Minnesota, but we were very, very nervous. And you came down, and the governor came down, and we appreciated that visit also. Senator Dahl, you look like you're ready to ask a question. You don't have to. But I appreciate your remarks. Any further discussion, Senator?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. That's close enough. Senator's good.
That's good.
Commissioner, we talked earlier as you came in, and I wanted to get your thoughts and have them for the committee as well. Last year, an annuity conformity bill came forward. It was the NAIC model, the National Association of Insurance Commissioners, and yet it seemed like there was a roadblock, and I just want to get your perspective on that, as you are one of those commissioners that I believe is part of the NAIC, and just where we're going on that, because I think that would be helpful.
Commissioner.
Senator Metzen, Senator Gazelka, thank you. Yes, the annuity suitability bill is based on a model legislation. To put the framework around it, one of the key provisions of the Dodd-Frank Act was to allow the states to put into place annuity suitability standards. Minnesota was one of the forerunners of annuity suitability and had a law in place and has had a law in place for quite a long time on annuity suitability. One of the few states that ever did. It should be, I think there's a deadline of getting that done by June 30th of this year. So Minnesota had a law in place, and the proposal that's been came forward over the last couple of years is one that our staff worked very hard on. We met with the insurance folks, insurance industry, to hammer out some of our concerns. Overall, from my perspective, coming out with an annuity suitability bill that protects consumers was critical, and to have one of the strongest annuity suitability laws in the country was very important for us. Annuity suitability goes to the core of the transaction, meaning that an annuity needs to be suitable. It should fit the needs of the consumer. Oftentimes, seniors in their 80s or older are sold products that they shouldn't really be sold. I liken this to annuities to one of those complex products. It is a complex product, but it's almost like the brakes in your car. You want to make sure that they're going to stop you when they need to, but they're very complex underneath the hood. And I think that the consumer protections in at least the draft that was out there were strong. There were three outstanding issues, I believe, at the end of the day between the governor's office and the attorney general. And so where it was left off, I think, is where it should be picked up, which is a discussion and a resolution of those three outstanding issues. And I've advised and I've worked with folks to say that I'm willing to work on those three issues. I think the governor's office and the attorney general are available, and I encourage everybody to sit down and try to, get to a resolution of those three outstanding issues. And I'm confident it can be done if the parties focus on them.
Senator.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Commissioner, another unrelated question. On the exchanges, what do you think, what is the commerce role in that now? It's shifted, but does your department have any role? Because a lot of the issues related to it really are related to commerce, and so I just want to hear from you what your role is.
Mr. Chair and Senator Giesalka, just a little bit of the historical perspective, but yes, the department going forward will have and should have a role with respect to the insurance exchange. Think of it this way. The exchange itself is a participant in the insurance marketplace. It's a hybrid in a way, public-private entity, blending of those functions where, in essence, it's an exchange where there will be the purchase and sale of insurance products. And how the department will function, in essence, comes back to what is historically its responsibility, which is regulatory oversight. Those responsibilities, I believe, will not change from everything in our almost in every section of our statutes on insurance, from oversight of the health insurance companies, the insurance agents and brokers, maintaining innovative and competitive products. You know, the department will have a role. In the details, for example, the plans, the actual products that will be sold on the exchange have to be, like all other insurance plans, approved, filed and approved by the Department of Commerce under the standards, both at the state law standards and under the qualified health plan standards that the feds have out there. The essential health benefits set plays a role in that. The mandates play a role. So form and rates will still be our responsibility. And then making sure that the products themselves are sold well in the marketplace. There may be disputes and issues out there, so we have our, you know, complaint, our those traditional regulatory responsibilities. And then it goes to and it explains some of the sort of the dichotomy. It was in my head, but it also plays itself out. When the governor asked at the beginning of the administration for me, for the Department of Commerce, to incubate the exchange, we always had in mind it was only a placeholder, that we could only do it for a while, start planning it, putting designs like an architect on paper, even developing it to a certain point. But once you start implementing, it rapidly became apparent that the best interests was to move it over to another state agency or to get legislation passed to make sure that it was up and had its own authority to go and proceed, which is why for an interim we put it and placed it at the Minnesota Management and Budget Office under Commissioner Showalter last September. And in that way, the Department of Commerce with MMB's lead, as well as Department of Human Services and the Health Department, as well as the Department of Administration and Minute, the OET, are working together collaboratively on each of the responsibilities that we have. And hopefully, looking forward, I know this committee, is Mr. Chairman, you mentioned, is going to be working on the legislation. We, to the extent that there are any questions, would be happy to work on some of that stuff. And I know you've either had or will be having that on it in our staff. Peter Brickwitty will take the lead from the department's perspective on the legislative questions that come up. So yes, a long-winded answer, but we look forward to working on that, too.
No more questions.
I think... Commissioner has kind of outlined how important this legislation, the Affordable Health Care Act, is. And in my judgment, I think this is the committee that should be doing the heavy lifting. I mean, so I expect next Monday and Wednesday we're going to have full-blown hearings on the bill and want everybody to show up, study the stuff up, talk to lobbyists and others, and get some ideas, get some thoughts. I think Monday we will be listening more than talking. And I think Tuesday we'll be listening and amending. Okay. And again, I think this is where, not because I'm chair, but I think the majority of the lifting should be done here. And we should be the ones framing this affordable exchange. What did I say? Exchange, I think, isn't it?
Yep.
So kind of be thinking, and if you have amendments, let's be ready for them next week and make the present bill a little bit better or a lot better. So that's where we're at. But anyway, that Senate file number one is next Monday and Wednesday, so be ready for it. Any further, Senator Dahl?
Thank you, Chair, and I thank you for reading my mind. I did have a question.
But, I know you well enough to be.
I am. Actually, it's not so much of a question. It's more of a, I want to thank you for your work so far, and I'm looking forward to working with you this coming session and hopefully a few more years. And I also appreciate your work on consumer protection issues. This committee used to be called Commerce and Consumer Protection, and sometimes we forget that aspect of what we're doing here. I also appreciate the fact that you took on the Legislative Auditor's Report and tackled that in a mere 9 months. Is there anything else that you see that you'd like to accomplish in the big picture, kind of what the Commerce Commission should be doing or that you'd like to see in terms of a vision or an agenda over the next few years?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Dahl, yes, absolutely. We just went through our budgeting process. We also went through a strategic plan at the department to challenge ourselves to do not only what we do better, but to look for those enhancements. I view my responsibility as commissioner to delve down deep and to think ahead of what those issues may be before somebody comes up with them and finds them, like the legislative auditor. So we did a risk assessment. We've identified some issues where I'd like to make some strategic investments to continue to work on sort of the administrative part of the department. I think as well there's a long way to go for us to be stronger on consumer protection. On the education front in particular, to make sure that we get out education materials to seniors, to students. Financial literacy is a high priority again. I take pride in actually a bipartisan effort on that with Representative Maury Landing, who's been very interested in that topic. I talked with them, and I asked him to work together on that issue going forward. But I also look around our divisions, and I say, for example, in the insurance area, we have this major task of taking on the ACA conformity, so that's a big priority for us. In the banking area, we still have a major watch list. In fact, there was one bank we had to close last Friday, where our banks are getting better, but there's still a few at the bottom that are in troubled situation. So I think maintaining the safety and soundness of our state banks is, again, a high priority. Over the next 5 years, the state of state banking, I think, will change a little bit. And we want to work with the industry on making sure that we go through that process smoothly. On the security side as well, we have worked with industry to enhance our examination of investment advisors. And I think we're going to, and that's required by the Dodd-Frank Act, I mentioned this before. We went from we're currently supervising $5 billion worth of assets under management for the state of Minnesota in that area alone. And then on the energy side, we have, as I mentioned, the economy, the energy economy has changed in Minnesota. It's changed throughout the country. So I think making sure that we meet the baseload demands of all Minnesotans, including heavy industry users and consumers and residents as we move forward, and then to take advantage of the opportunities, and I think just getting a few of them this last December, but taking advantage of the opportunities to grow some of the businesses we have in Minnesota in the energy sector are critical. So there's a lot of those aspects of it. Just a few to highlight, but I think it's just continuing to do better and make the department as the best agency we can. I often tell the employees we want to be the best place to work in state agency work, and I think we're getting there, and we're going to continue to do that.
Senator Dahl, one thing I visited with the commissioner on a while back was some of the bad apples in the gold and silver business, and I mentioned it before. I'm not big on rules and regulations, but I know there's a lot of bad stuff going on out there, and I think we need some tightening up. I don't know what it might be, but that's where I know you're thinking about that along with the Attorney General's office, so we'll be looking at that, I'm sure, in this committee too. So,
yeah. Mr. Chairman, we do, after you and I met, we came up with some ideas, and collaborated with the Attorney General on her ideas, and there will be proposals for the committee to take a look at to tackle that problem.
Good, good. Any further? Senator Carlson.
Mr. Chair and Commissioner, I wonder if you could help me rescue one of the best tools we've had over the last maybe 70 or 80 years, and that's the telephone. About 50 years ago, a person that I worked with said that this was one of the poorest inventions that he's ever seen because it interrupts you. No matter what you're doing, it always takes precedence. It interrupts your conversation. It interrupts your meeting. And many people will suddenly make this someone who has not arranged a meeting with you take all of your attention. And what I'm finding out in the last few years is that the calls that are coming in on my phone, less than half of them are for me. They're solicitors. They're people who are intending to interrupt you, intending to sell you something that you don't want to buy. And even though we have a do not call list, we have rules on robocalls, we have rules on the caller ID, what we're finding out is that more and more of those rules are being ignored. And we have spoofing, we have masking, we have all of the terms for getting into our space. I think I have a personal relationship with Anne of Cardholder Services, who calls several times a day, and I've taken to trying to call back Anne on the number that she's called me, and it always goes to a different place. Is there something that we can do on our telecommunications to bring back this valuable tool so that the calls that are coming into it that are for us, that we can take advantage of it again? Again, the calls I make going out are now a lot of times not answered because of the same experiences those people are having. And I think anybody who has gone through this latest election realizes that many of the calls are now going unanswered. They let them go to a voicemail and then maybe return the call later on. But I think it's caused this very valuable tool to become less and less valuable to us. Is there something that we can help you do to make that more valuable?
Commissioner.
Senator Metzen and Senator Carlson, yes, I think so. It's complex because of the regulatory federal-state relationship. Clearly, the telephone companies, the old traditional telephone companies that are out there, are under the jurisdiction of the state and the Department of Commerce, under my jurisdiction. But we work with the FCC, the Do Not Call List, Minnesota's Do Not Call List. Call List is administered by the department, but in conjunction with the department or the FCC. And our staff works diligently on the telephone rate cases, complaints that come in from consumers. Work with telephone companies to do that. I think it's going to be a collaboration with the wireless companies, the cable companies, the telephone companies that deliver the services to our phones to be able to address those issues that you're talking about. When it comes to satellite communications and all that, that is federal jurisdiction. But I think where we can make a difference is putting our voices together and raising those concerns and make sure that the FCC, if it's wireless, hears them, that if it's cable, those folks hear our concerns, and that I'll do everything within my power to make sure that we can tackle those issues. I share your concerns. Just a quick story. In seventh grade, and I know Sherry will appreciate this, my wife, they delivered iPads to the seventh graders. And they will for the 8th and 9th graders over time. But I remember sitting down and doing math homework. She pulled up the calculator, and at the bottom of the calculator is an advertisement streaming. So what this does is it presents a challenge. We're on the cusp of a global economy where we need the Internet to expand our businesses, greater Minnesota, all over the state. Broadband from corner to corner has been, or border to border, has been the governor's priority of the governor. And he's asked that I house the broadband development office at the Department of Commerce. We work with Connect Minnesota. We've made a map of all of the state of Minnesota and where the delivery of telecommunications is happening. So we know where cable is. We know where wireless is. And we have a challenge. And this challenge is this: to be able to take the great opportunities these communication devices can deliver to us, from educating our kids, public libraries, yourselves, whatever our businesses need, but then also to be careful about the consumer problems, the protections, and to make sure there's safety on the internet for our children and for all of us in Minnesota. So I am all with you, and I'll do everything I can.
Thank you.
Very good. Did you coach the Mighty Ducks or Mighty Hockey team? Was it the?
I did. You know, one of the they say that concussions can be terrible. But I remember this little kid. He was like 6 years old.
I thought you were going to say you got hit in the head or something.
No, I'm telling that is a story, Mr. Chair. This kid came up behind me, wanted to take me down. He was 6 years old. Came up and he clipped me from behind, and I hit the back of my head so hard it was crazy. But it's just a true delight to be able to do that. I haven't had the time, really, to play hockey like I did as a kid, but I do enjoy it with our kids.
Very good. Yeah, that's an example of a lot of us trying to give back to our communities. You know, that's
exactly
been helpful to us growing up. And that. Any further discussion? Senator Jensen, did you have a motion to make? Or?
I do. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Yeah. I move that the Senate Commerce Committee recommend that Michael Rothman be confirmed as Commissioner of Commerce.
Okay, any further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, motion prevails. Congratulations, Commissioner.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
One
Thank
more
you,
important
committee.
Step, but we're going to get over the goal line, I think.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you, committee members. And again, huge hearings next Monday and Wednesday, so on the exchange. So be here and be prepared to help out a little bit.
Thank you.
Meeting's adjourned.